welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show about cake and cookie decorating and other decorative sugar arts. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, coming to you from the lovely city of Cambridge here in the UK. This is the pilot episode, so I'll be introducing the show and what it's going to be about. I'll talk to Kyla Myers about the Austin Cake Show, Ice's Midyear, and ways that shows can get young people involved. Plus, I've got an interview from the Austin Show with Chef Nicholas Lodge about this summer's floral trends and plenty of encouragement for your own projects. So whether you're decorating right now, washing up afterwards, or just hanging out, let's get this show going to help encourage you and your amazing artistry. Wow, this is exciting. A podcast for cake decorators at long last. See, I don't know about you, but when I'm working on a big cake project, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I tend to listen to science stuff and NPR stuff and now some BBC stuff since I moved over here to the UK. And I listen to some comedy stuff too. And even though I like those podcasts, every few months I'd go looking to see if there was something about our industry, the cake art industry. And pretty much other than cake people being guests on other podcasts, there really wasn't much out there. I started cake decorating in 2000 when I first moved to the US from Canada and I didn't have a green card, so I couldn't work. I happened upon Carol Deacon's book, Quick and Easy Novelty Cakes. It was at a bookstore, and I thought, hey, yeah, I'd like to try that. And I dutifully followed her recipes and her steps for making one of the cakes in there. It was this cute thing with, it was like a lily pad cake with some little frogs on it, and it turned out pretty good. So then, of course, being me, my next step was to throw caution to the wind and see how far could I push all of these media to make all kinds of weird cakes for my friends. And this was all in the early days when radio shows were just starting to be downloadable, so you could listen whenever you wanted. So I developed this habit of storing up shows that I like for whenever I was about to spend hours or, you know, days on a cake project. And since then, I've developed my own style and preferences, as we all do. So now when people ask me what I do, I say I'm a competitive and experimental cake decorator, which is kind of a weird title. I often have to explain what that means, that I compete in cake shows and I push boundaries and I try weird new cake things, as many of you know, if you know me personally. And that's what the Eat the Evidence blog is all about. For years now, I've been trying to encourage everyone of all ages and all skill levels to try cake decorating with the philosophy that if it all goes horribly awry, you at least still have cake at the end. So eat the evidence of your mistakes and nobody needs to know. Because there really ought to be no shame in cake decorating. We all have disasters. We all have bad days and we all have triumphant days. We're all learning some skills, and we all have the thing we're really good at and the stuff we're not so good at. And one of the problems I keep seeing, and I know I have this myself, is it's really easy to fall in this trap of you see all these gorgeous, seemingly perfect cakes online or in magazines or on TV, and you think, oh, wow, I wish I was that good. But, you know, here's the secret. Those cakes aren't all perfect anyway. They're turned to the camera for the best angle. Mistakes have been cleverly hidden by the decorators. I guarantee you, because I personally know many of these high-end decorators, that those folks often feel just as frustrated and overworked and underpaid and panicked about deadlines as anybody else. And a major reason I want to do this podcast is to bring us all together in our shared joy and our agony to lift each other up and support each other. I need your help to do that. I'd like to have clips in every episode of you folks telling each other supportive things. Many of you have probably seen my cake formations on Facebook, where I try to encourage people with everything from just little quips or maybe a silly photo, something that really lifts your spirits. Sometimes they're really specific, sometimes they're fairly general. And I started doing it as a lark, but people really seem to appreciate it. So I'd like to get those of you who like that sort of thing to come and help participate in the podcast with me. What are the words you need to hear when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and your cake is due at 9 a.m. and your eyes are crossing from placing so many dragées, or your petals just won't dry fast enough, or you discover, to your horror, that something you thought was finished has a great big crack through it? I want you guys out there to leave me Facebook voicemail messages with the words of comfort you need, so we can share those words with others And remember that we're not alone in these moments. Let's come together and remind each other that it's going to be okay, that the cake is going to turn out gorgeous in the end, and we can do it if we just keep muddling our way through. I also want to hear your stories. Do you have a funny cake story to share? How about a rant about a customer who just didn't get that you cannot make that Pinterest beauty for $50? Is there something really hard for you to do, but you finally did it and you triumphed and you want to tell me that story? Again, leave me a Facebook voicemail or set up a recording time with me. This podcast will be better with your voices in it. But do keep it clean, please. This podcast isn't specifically for kids, but I want to keep it kids safe so you can have it on in your kitchen with your kids nearby. I'm going to keep the language clean, and if an issue or story ever comes up that might push that at all, I'll read out a warning at the start so you always know what's coming. I'd also like to lay a few ground rules here at the start. This podcast is for everyone who loves the sugar arts. This is an LGBT-friendly space. This is for people from every country, of every religion, and that includes no religion. It is for people of all colors, shapes, and sizes. It's for young folks and old folks and cake newbies and high-end professionals. This podcast is about spreading massive amounts of love, support, and so much icing, really, so just so much icing. So no matter who you are, where you are, whom you love, whatever else you've got going on in your life, you're invited to come play along with everyone else. We're in this together, guys!
I'm Kendall, and what I want to hear at 2, 3, 4 a.m. is... here's a mocha. Get me my coffee. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
With me now is Kyla Myers, president of Capital Confectioners of Austin, Texas, and co-owner of Crazy Cakes in Austin as well. And she's one of the key people behind the That Takes the Cake Sugar Art Show in Austin every year. But I like to call her the Cake Nexus because she knows almost everybody in this business, and she's also one of my personal best friends in all of the world. Welcome, Kyla.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How's it going?
Not too bad. I'm still recovering from the cake show, and as you know, I took off for another cake meeting just a few days after our show, so I'm now trying to catch up for my busyness.
Let's start talking about the Austin show. Obviously, that's the one that's near and dear to us. How did it go?
It went really, really well. We made a good profit this year, which is a nice feeling because that means that we have some money to lead us into the next year and help pay for our expenses along the way. So I think it went great. The buzz was good. Our attendance level was very close to 4,000 this year, I think, or possibly 5, but I think it was like 4,000. That's a really good number. And, you know, it's busy and everyone seemed very happy and we've gotten a lot of great feedback.
Do you know offhand about how many entries did we end up with this year?
I don't. There's always some little training issue every year. And one of them that didn't get done this year was filling in the cakes that didn't arrive. So we knew that we had, I can't remember, was it like 400 cakes entered? But I'm not exactly sure how many actually showed up. But we had a lot of cakes there this year, so our numbers were good.
Well, and we had that new thing now, too, where you couldn't just register dozens and dozens of things for free. I bet that probably made a difference in terms of the overstated numbers.
Yeah, that's been a problem for us, and not just for us, for every cake show, that people register to bring cakes and then don't show up with them. It would be really nice if people let us know they weren't coming with their cakes so we could adjust our numbers. But if we believe there's 400 cakes coming, we, by golly, need to make room for 400 cakes. If only 350 cakes show up or 300 cakes show up, then you have a lot of blank spaces on tables. And that doesn't look good for us, but there's very little we can do about it. So this year we changed things. In the past, when you entered our show competition, you could register pretty much as many cakes as you wanted to bring. And that kind of broke us last year when we had a young lady who had registered for 27 cakes. Now, I called her up a couple of nights before the show, and I said, are you sure you're going to be bringing 27 cakes? And she said, well, I think it's going to be more like 12. Well, she showed up with two. And that's caused us a big problem on table space that there was very little we could do about. So we changed our rules this year so that for your competition entry, you could bring three cakes. You could bring more cakes, but each additional cake cost you an additional $5. And we thought that might stop people from registering 27 cakes. And it did. And it didn't really affect our overall number of cakes that we had registered to bring this year, which meant probably more people were entering. But we still had the same issue. And I hear from other show directors that's an issue with them as well. So we're still looking for a solution to that problem.
Well, it also, I mean, it has the problem of you had to call her. And I know from being on this team that Kyla has too much work to do. And you having just another thing to call and another thing to do is more stress on you. And that means that's another class you're not organizing, or another facet of the show that just because of time and space you can't do.
That's correct. You know, every year there's something. And I have a lot of hands-on anyways, because for those people who don't know it, I manage our website. I keep our database up to date. So when people register for classes, that information goes into our database. I'm the lookout person who notices that if you registered yourself and then your children and didn't do it properly and overwrote yourself with your children, I'm the one that's likely to see that. So I'm very hands-on in our database, and I see a lot of what's going on. So it's very time-consuming, but having to call people then to say, really, are you bringing that many cakes, just adds a, you know, another level of stuff I have to do.
Yeah, well, that's part of why I call you the cake nexus, because you know this person has children, to recognize that that's, you know, that family that always brings, you know, their kids cakes and their own cakes.
Absolutely. I know from multiple years of doing this, I recognize people when they start to register, oh, that's Jacqueline and her tribe, or, mm-hmm. you know, that's Veronica and her daughter. Pretty familiar, unless they're brand new to the cake show, with the families. And I've kind of watched them grow up, which is the fun part.
Well, I mean, obviously that's the part that I like too, is having these kid classes and watching some of these kids, like Sam Plant, who was new to our show last year. And now I was one of the people who said, I want to see you guys competing. And he did. And look what happened.
Yes, we're so proud of Sam winning our best of in the teen division. And, you know, he's just blossomed. And I hear that you were one of his first instructors. So I'm sure you're patting yourself on your back and feeling quite proud too.
I am. Yeah, because he took my beginner class, and he wanted to take the advanced class, because again, that's a unique thing our show does, is offer advanced class for kids. Because I know, you know, there are kids who don't want to just do the baby stuff every year. Some of the older kids, they want something more advanced. And so we offered that for that first time that year. And there he was in the beginner class. And he said, you know, I really want to take the advanced class, but I'm not supposed to do that because I'm not good enough. And I had just seen what he did. And I said, well, you know, obviously I'm not going to tell your parents to spend money, but you have my permission, if it's okay with them, to come to the advanced class. And then when he did, you know, he did great. There were other kids in that class Jesse Gall was in that class that year, and she won in one of the tasting competitions as an adult. Nicole Peralta too. I mean, she's been a student of our show and of mine for years. She and her mom have been volunteers for the show. And so for her to develop her talent over the years and then come in and last year just get so many awards in that teen category, I cried. I was just so happy for her. So I know that we have these kids who are really super talented, and we are going to be the show that's going to foster them up into adulthood.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Jesse might have been one of the first young adults to enter, first kids to enter our tasting competition. We were super proud of her, and she did kind of a Jackson Pollock cake. So that was really pretty cool. And some people might not know this, but Sam is 12. He didn't want to be in the kids arena entering as a junior because he wanted to be judged. So he entered in as a teen and blew the teen competition away as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, and I'm going to put in the show notes, I'll put links to the photos of his cake, and so people can see what kids are capable of when shows like ours put that out there and give them those opportunities.
Yes, and people talk all the time about how do we bring young people into our show? How do we keep that vitality and youth interested in the cake world? And I say this is how. We encourage those kids to be part of our show, and this year, in fact, we had a child judge in our tasting arena, Carolyn Coleman, I believe her name is, who was the Chopped Junior Champion this last year. She's from my little city here in Pflugerville, just outside of Austin. And it happens that one of our members, our board directors, teaches at the school or subs at the school where she goes, and got to talking with her aunt, and her aunt said, oh yeah, that's great, this cake show. Well, we got Carolyn involved, and she taught at, or she judged in our tasting competition. And then I thought, you know what would be really cool is if Sam and Carolyn teamed up and did our on-site competition. So I kind of talked to the two of them about it. They were both super enthusiastic, and the two of them got together and did that. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, we had Caitlin Cavillin teaching kids classes too, and she's a young person who wants to come up and teach. And obviously, our show has the legacy. We're going to just claim Tyler Gary, right? We get to claim him as ours.
Oh yeah, Tyler's been a member of our club, so yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there are all these young people who are really coming up, and when we give them the opportunities and places to shine, it makes such a difference, and it's going to be the future of our industry.
Yeah, and Tyler was, I don't know, 12 or 13, I think, maybe when he joined our club. He was quite young, and he's probably felt a little awkward in there with all of these older women and in the club meetings. But we were super excited to have him. And then he came in and joined the competition. I think he was maybe 14 when he did his first cake, and he blew us all away, absolutely blew us away with his beautiful string work that was all self-taught. And I can't remember, was it that year, but one of the years, either when he was 14 or 16, he won a competition with the French pastry school up in Chicago to have a week's training up there. And we were just over the moon excited for him. And Tyler, I think, you know, thinks of the Austin Cake Show as his kind of home base. And we were really thrilled to have him back this year. And he's constantly sort of upgrading his skills and challenging himself and doing new stuff and not just sticking with the piping that we all know he's brilliant at. His cake this year didn't, I don't think it had any piping on it. It had beautiful flowers.
It was flowers, yeah.
Wedding cake, and he won.
I know, and I was talking to him about it before, and he said, oh, I just made that. It's not going to do well. I'm like, do you know that you're Tyler Gary? Have you met you? And of course he won because it was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous, and it was simple, and sometimes people don't realize just that simple is gorgeous, and you can still shine with that. And I think that's the advantage of having seasoned judges who look beyond whether a cake is flashy to how well it was executed and how well it fits the category. And so, of course, we are very pleased for Tyler and always thrilled to just have him at our show because he's such a shining example of just a kind and wonderful person.
He is, yeah. And I mean, going back to with the cake and the simplicity, we had a lot of really gorgeous entries this year.
Oh, we did. It was amazing. From very highly intricate work. I mean, Timbo Sullivan's Beast from Beauty and the Beast was incredible. The piece that Benny Rivera did in the faceplate on that Singer sewing machine.
Believe me, I was looking at that because mine did not have that faceplate. And I was like, yeah, no, you nailed that faceplate.
Right? But throughout the show, there was just some amazing examples of every kind of work that you can imagine. And again, you know, it's nice that we showcase cakes from the child entries to masters and professionals, and then the showpieces that are just better every year.
That miniature piano was in intermediate, was it?
I think that was intermediate, and that's Jo Meany, whose work I always look forward to. She's such a lovely person too. So I was very thrilled when she won that, and she was blown away. She just totally didn't expect it.
Oh, but it was gorgeous. When people were talking about it, before I saw it, people were talking about it. Have you seen the piano? Have you seen the piano? Go see the piano. And when I went and looked at it, there was no mistaking. I knew as soon as I set eyes on it, yes, this is the piece people are talking about, because it was just so gorgeous. And again, I'm going to have to put show notes with pictures of these. It's one of the ironies of a audio podcast about a visual medium that we will have to have pictures for later. But we should move on, because I know you do have some deliveries later on. But I wanted to pick your brain about what you did after our show. You went to ISIS Midyear. What's that about?
I did. And, you know, for years, I've kind of wondered myself, like, what is ISIS Midyear all about? Because I hear about it, but people don't really talk about it like you should go to ISIS Midyear, other than if they want you to run for the board or ISIS rep, because you may not know this, but you have to attend Midyear in order to be a rep or in order to run for the board. So little did I know that our Susie Zimmerman here, who is our Texas rep at the moment, was probably setting me up for board by inviting me to attend. And I was fortunate that Terry Tarbox from Maryland was unable to attend, and she invited me to take her place. So I was acting rep for Maryland. So part of my reason for going, like I said, is I wanted to know what it was all about. Well, it's a lot of work is the answer. So don't let anybody fool you that going to Midyear is just a lot of fun. It is a lot of work, in which they keep us in meetings from about 8 to 5 and let us escape every once in a while for a bathroom break or some lunch. But it is a strategy and planning meeting for the ICES organization. And if you don't know what that is, that stands for the International Cake Exploration Society, not ISIS, the terrorist group. So there was some talk about while we were there about a possible name change, because, you know, you're standing around the airport talking about ISIS, you know, doesn't sound so good. So I noticed a lot of people pronouncing it ICES, and maybe they have before, but I've always said ISIS. But anyhow, planning and strategy meeting for the ISIS organization, and a chance to look at next year is not the current year, but the next year's convention and hear about that space. Funny story about that is I kind of crashed the meeting for the show committee for Spokane, which is the one that's coming up this year. And I was sitting there, you know, just observing and what have you. And they said, committees that we still need someone to run for. And they said, well, we need a tour guide. And I'm sitting there listening, tour guide. Yeah, great. And then they said, well, the tour guide this year will get in free to the wine tour and the tea room experience. I felt my arm go up like a little helium balloon. I was like, wine and tea? They're speaking my language. I must go. And they said, oh, we have a volunteer. And I was looking down at myself like, did I just do that?
Well, you were so bored with nothing else to do.
Nothing to do, but wine and tea, you're speaking my game. So, yeah. So I found myself on the committee there for the Spokane show, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I have family up in Spokane area, and it's a lovely area. And from what I have heard, the hotel and the convention space is just beautiful there. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. So there was a lot of stuff that we talked about there, like what is ICES, what do people think of ICES, how do we improve our membership, because there's a little bit of a retention problem right now, how do we encourage young people to join the organization, and, you know, there's a breakfast and a dinner and a few things going on, and just a chance to kind of mingle with other people in the organization and talk about how we move forward as an organization and improve on what we have.
Obviously, we just talked about ways to get young people in, so that's clearly something you have expertise on.
Yeah, I think that people received what I had to say very well for the most part. I think with any organization that is, I think ISIS, it turned 50 last year, it's been around for a long time, and there's a lot of older members and people in general, whether it's ISIS or my own group or anybody, have a resistance to change. And I think there's a little bit of that happening. There's a little resistance to coming in with some new stuff. But people do want to see ICES succeed in the same way that they want to see British Sugar Craft Guild succeed. So these organizations have been around for a long time, and they've gotten some infusion of some younger people joining. There's a little bit of, you know, back and forth, but I think in the end, you know, what people want is for us to succeed. And hopefully some of the ideas that we put forth at this mid-year meeting to try and stop the loss of retention and to help bring in new people will be listened to and implemented.
Well, I mean, I definitely look forward to that. I was an ICES member briefly. I mean, I don't live on the continent anymore, so... But, you know, hey, I could be persuaded back. If I thought that there was room for me to do stuff aside from just, you know, just a cake show. I mean, obviously, I'm going to always come back to the Austin show if it's feasible because that's my home show. But, yeah, I mean, definitely there are ways shows and groups can keep my interest. And as I'm not going to get into it, but we know many of people know that British Sugar Craft Guild kind of lost me over some things. And part of it was that kind of not keeping things going and not feeling particularly welcoming to newcomers. So yeah, I definitely would be excited to hear a future where you're involved with ICES, because I know that you can help bring people back in.
I certainly hope so. And I think, you know, one of the things that they did for this coming show, I know, was to separate out the business meeting from the breakfast, which, if you know me, I've always referred to as the painful, awful breakfast, because mixing the breakfast with the meeting, for one thing, they couldn't open the vendor hall until the meeting was done. And sometimes the meeting, because of dragging on with business, we wouldn't get out of there till 1:30 last year. And that's a really long time. And breakfast has long been over. And we're all just anxious to get out, maybe get some lunch by that time or a drink. And we've just been stuck in there. And it hasn't set a very good example for new members to just be sitting over their first breakfast ever with all these members who are doing nothing but arguing with each other. So they separated that out for this coming meeting. And I think that will be a good thing overall.
Yeah, that's actually, well, I've been to one ICES show was when I lived in Las Vegas. That's why I went to the Las Vegas one. And I have this memory of just being trapped in this room with people talking about stuff I didn't understand because I didn't have the legacy information. And people were arguing about things very passionately that I didn't understand. And I just kept thinking it would be rude to get up and leave. It would be rude to get up and leave. Oh, God, why am I here? So that's good to hear, separating that out. I think that's a really good move.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's a lot of great things about ICES that I would like to see continue. And overall, I think it's a wonderful organization. And I do hope that I can help with bring the expertise I have in the same way that I helped grow the Austin show. So when I started with the Austin Cake Show, this is kind of a famous story, which you've heard, no doubt. It was still fairly small. And that year, they were holding it in the at the rodeo. So it was one big sort of square building, and they backed up in the room the classes against the on-site competition. So you can imagine it was fairly loud on the side where the classes were at. And this was probably, I don't know, 2007, 2008. It was quite a long time ago. And the instructors weren't really used to having that camera that looked down on the table, so they kept moving their projects. And Jennifer's husband, Randy, had to keep going up and moving the camera. And so I complained that all I saw through the whole thing was his big head. Because if you don't know Randy, he's a giant. So he's a big guy. And I was doing some Austin blogging at the time. So I had kind of wrote up a review of it, not knowing that this was run by a volunteer organization, mind you. And I later found that out and thought, well, I'm going to go to the meeting. Well, it happened to be the meeting after the show, like a month later, and they were reviewing the show and all the things that happened. And I went to sign in, and there was a copy of my blog. And I was like, oh, dear. Well, I guess I'm going to have to own up now. And I wasn't real popular for a while, and I think that they punished me by making me president.
Is this the part where you routinely tell us how you don't want to be president anymore? Because we're not buying it, so...
So it was a fairly small-ish show, But I had retired from my career as an IT director, and I had some time on my hands, and I thought, well, I could help this group out. And they just newly kind of acquired a website. And if you are old enough like me to remember what the old GeoCities sites looked like with bright colors and kind of horrendous, that's what the site looked like. And there was no functionality to it as to helping the club or helping the cake show. So I kind of took that on and improved the website and started bringing money into the show and, you know, started recurring payments and having our classes online, our competition registration online and doing all that stuff, which brought in more and more money to our show so that we could have a bigger show and have nicer things. And my joke is that I bring in the money and Jennifer spends it. So, but this year she didn't spend as much because yay, money left over.
Yay. I should insert some applause here. So I probably need to let you go deliver that cake that you have to do. But I'm hoping that we can kind of regularly do this, have a chat with the Cake Nexus and catch up on, you know, trends. Because I know you're really good at spotting who is an up-and-comer, who's one to watch, you know, what's the good trend. I mean, obviously right now, if anyone sees another unicorn cake, we're all just going to die. But like that trend is clearly discovered. But hopefully for future episodes, we can have you back on and talk about what's going on in the cake world, Cake Nexus.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cake Nexus!
Hey guys, when I tell you this podcast is here to support you, it's not just me pumping you up. Take it from this very special cake friend of mine, whom I spoke with at the Austin Cake Show in February. Okay, so we're here at the Austin Show with Nick Lodge, the infamous Nick Lodge, our head judge, who we love so much.
Good morning.
So, how's it going?
It's going great. It's been a really busy day yesterday, judging all the competitions, amazing work, and, you know, from beginners to masterclass, so there's a little bit of something for everybody, so this is a great show, so very nice.
So what's new coming out from your line and stuff that you sell?
Well, a lot of new products, like developing some new colors and some new molds. And, you know, there's always, like, innovation in cake decorating. So just, like, looking for the next trend. So there's, you know, a lot of things happening in texture. And so, but obviously I specialize in sugar flowers. So just thinking of, like, what new flowers are trendy with brides. And that's what I'm going to be making. So
what do you think the big flowers are this coming summer?
Well, a lot of large flowers, you know, so again, I mean, a lot of, because obviously the, you know, the Pantone color this year is my signature apple green, incidentally.
That's always handy.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of, like, you know, green calla lilies, and brides will be using a lot of green and white, you know, so very fresh and summery, and but mixing it with pinks and other colors will complement it perfectly.
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't met anyone yet in cake who doesn't know who you are. I mean, I go to England show and I can drop other names and they don't know who's that. And but I really want to make a point. I'll say, yeah, but I heard it from Nick. And everyone's like, oh, well, now then it's true. So there's this, you know, people really, really look up to you. But I want to know, what's challenging to you? What's hard? What really makes you go, oh, that's hard?
Well, I think, I mean, I always, because I've been in this industry nearly 40 years, so it's like having to be a bit like, you know, like in the music industry, like Madonna or Cher or Elton John, you have to reinvent yourself, and you can't be complacent in this industry. You have to always think about, you know, reinventing things, coming forward with new trends and ideas, but also, you know, sort of moving with the times. So that's very, but I mean, so the hard thing for me is sometimes just having enough hours in the day. I mean, honestly, so.
You also don't have one of those Hermione time turner things?
No. So, but yeah, I wish there was probably like 36 hours in a day and to get everything done, but there's always busy. It's always busy, but it's also a lot of fun. Every day is different for me, and each week is different. I'm in a different country. On a different, you know, sort of teaching different groups, teaching different things. So that keeps it very fresh. So even after 40 years, I still love with what I do.
So have you ever had anything just go spectacularly wrong? And then how did you make it better?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always cake drama. I mean, you know, sort of like I had a cake once a few years ago, and actually was in England, and somebody, a dog ate part of the cake, you know, sort of by the time the customer got there. So having to take some royal icing and sort of like try and stick things back together. But, you know, these things happen. I mean, but it's also not to get stressed. I always tell my students, remember to breathe. That's very important. You know, like you're not going to be perfect when you first start. I mean, you have to, it's like anything, you have to practice it. Your first rose you pipe is going to look like a cabbage, and then it looks like a Brussels sprout, and then eventually it will look like a rose. So.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
Well,
really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's great to chat to everybody and have a great day. And as I said, remember to breathe, okay? Bye.
So there you have it. If you're going to listen to anyone tell you that you can do it, who better than the great Nick Lodge? He believes in you. I believe in you. We all believe in you. And we are all going to help each other make beautiful, edible art in this fabulous world of deliciousness that we all share. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and if you'd like to hear your voice on the show or you want to discuss anything you've heard, get in touch with me on Facebook at facebook.com/eattheevidencebykimberlychapman, all one word. Or go to eattheevidence.com/podcast, remembering to put dashes between the words, so it's eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. The show is also on Twitter at @EatEvidence. If you've got Kim Chapman friended on Facebook, you can leave me a voicemail message there to record your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Show notes and music credits can be found at the Eat the Evidence website in the podcast section. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.